of Ecclesiastes. We've been going verse by verse through Ecclesiastes on Wednesday evening, and so we've gotten up to chapter 4, actually. And I'm going to start out chapter 4 and then kind of veer off into another direction this evening a little bit. But I wanted to get started on these first few verses here in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and see this situation that Solomon is in, and the down and out attitude that he has. And keep in mind that Solomon is looking at things under the sun. In other words, worldly things, and he's looking at this point in his life from a worldly viewpoint. And so he's looking and writing and sharing these things that from a worldly and a human perspective, so to speak. And so we kind of keep that in mind as we look at this, because it actually can be pretty depressing when you read some of this stuff and see there, and it could almost leave you with no hope. But I want to turn that around tonight before I finish and give us that hope that we need to have through the Word of God. And so starting out here in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, starting in verse 1, it says, Then I returned and considered all the oppression that is done under the sun. And look, the tears of the oppressed. But they have no comforter on the side of their oppressors, but on the side of their oppressors there is power. But they have no comforter. So Solomon is seeing the oppressed, and he's like, man, they don't have anybody to comfort them. They don't have anybody to help them. Their accusers and those that are oppressing them seem to have all the power. Everything's going for them. And so Robert Burns, this gentleman, said one time, man's inhumanity to man makes countless of thousands mourn. And as you think about the insensitivity, I can't say that word right, to the poor and the downhearted. And as we went through Proverbs, we saw over and over how the Proverbs had mentioned the poor and the needy and the downhearted, and how we need to take care of them. And so it seems that over the years, though, even from Solomon's time, sensitive hearts in every age has grieved to see the oppression that is carried out by men against fellow man. You know, if the weak, the strong just seem to kind of gobble up the weak. You know, it's kind of like the corporate thing, you know. How many people you got to climb over to get to the top of the corporate ladder? You know, how many hands have you stepped on going up that ladder? And people that are climbing that ladder, they don't seem to care. They seem to have all the power at that point. And so it tormented Solomon. It tormented him. He was grieved to see the tears of the oppressed and the power of their oppressors. It gave him grief. And he also grieved him to see the failure of anyone to defend the downtrodden. He didn't see anyone that was there to defend them. Power was on the side of the oppressors, and no one dared to defy their power. And that happens a lot in today's society. You know, the powerful are there, and nobody seems to have the courage or the stamina or whatever to stand up against them. But from this vantage point, it seemed that truth was forever on the scaffold and wrong was forever on the throne. Basically, that's where Solomon's at. And so from that, his vantage point, and so he could not see, though. He couldn't see behind the dim unknown standeth God, within the shadow, keeping watch over his own. God always keeps watch over his children. He's always there, and sometimes we don't feel it, don't recognize it. We don't see him in our lives. But the Beatitude says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So to get a pure heart, we need to get some of the distractions out of our life, some of the additions of the world out of our life, so that we can be clear to see him doing a work in us and doing a work in others around about us. And so he is there, watching over his own. Then verse 2 says, therefore I praised the dead who were already dead more than living who are still alive. See, I told you it was oppressive. Yeah. So in his dejection, he concluded that the dead are better off than the living. That is better to be dead. To him, death provided at least a welcome escape from the persecutions and the cruelties in this life. It's kind of like what we've been reading about, what we just read about in Revelation. about how those that are going through the tribulation, how they're crying out for the rocks to fall on. They're wanting out of here. Get us out of here in whatever way. So he was not really concerned at the moment of the deeper implications of death. He was saying it'd be better to death. He wasn't thinking about eternity. Where would he be? And where are those that go into eternity apart from God, apart from a relationship with Jesus? He wasn't really concerned about that at that point. He wasn't concerned that a person who dies in unbelief is doomed to a more severe suffering. So, a more severe suffering and very much worse oppression than ever experienced here on this earth. And for him, the question was not, is there life after death? But rather, he was questioning, is there life after birth? He's trying to think, is there any kind of life to have after we're born? And then verse 3, he says, yet better than both is he who has never existed, who has not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. So his cynicism touched bottom with the observation that even though the dead are better off than living, he's saying here that the unborn are still more to be envied. They're more enviable because they have never lived to be driven mad. You know, they haven't had to experience anything, the madness of the oppressors under the sun, the worldly oppressors. They had never had to endure, is where he was getting to. And so that ghastly mockery of happiness called life. They never had to endure that little thing called life at this point. So as I read those first three verses this week, and I sat back in my chair and I thought, man, that is just down to the bottom. It's better not to have been born. I think sometimes in all of our lives we probably felt that at one time or another. But as a believer in Christ, there's a whole different chapter. There's a whole different view that we can have, because what happens is we have what's called the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is here and with us. And so turn now to the New Testament, to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14. I want to go over some of the ministry of the Holy Spirit this evening to give us that encouragement to be able to see for us as believers, we have hope. We have hope. We have something within the Godhead that is greater than anything this world has to throw at us as we receive Him and look at Him in that way. So John chapter 14, and we're going to read verses 15 and 17 to start with. We're going to go to a few verses here in John chapter 14 tonight, but first one is 15 through 17. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. Praise God. Then verse 18, I want to read it too. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. And so we see this scripture here as, and I will pray to the Father, and I will give you another helper. The word for helper there is parakletos. And it's used four times in the Gospel of John, and it is always translated as helper. This parakletos that comes along, actually could come alongside, is another way of putting it, that actually means alongside, come alongside. In other words, he's to take the place of Jesus. The Lord Jesus was their first helper sent by the Father. And it says, he says before he was ascended, I will give you another helper, someone to take his place in his absence. So the Father would give the disciples the Holy Spirit, or this paraclete, to help them. To help them and all believers to be with with them in Christ's absence. As he goes to be with the Father, he sent us this paraclete, this helper, the one to come alongside. So it's not like what Solomon is viewing here under the sun. We have somebody from above, from the heavens, that is with us continually, that is living in abiding within us. As the scripture said there in verse 16, he may abide with you forever. You know, that word abide in Greek is meno, and it just means to stay alongside, just to remain. It remains there with you. as we remain in Him, He remains in us. And so the disciples were sorrowing. They were depressed because Jesus had told him that he was going to go away and they couldn't go with him right then. And so they were kind of depressed. They were down and out. They were trying to figure all of that out and they couldn't quite understand it. And so he gave them this promise of this Holy Spirit, of this helper, this paraclete that would come along beside them. And each and every one of us that know Jesus, we have that same promise. We have that same hope within us 24/7. 24/7, it doesn't matter. He's there living and abiding in us. Now go up to chapter 14 in verses 1 through 3 and see what he said here. This is a pretty popular, well-known verse. It says, especially at funerals, and verse 1 says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." In other words, to the same degree, Jesus is saying, the same degree you believe in the Father, believe in me. It's the same degree is what he's saying. And verse 2 says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." There you may be also. I go to prepare this place for you. And as we think about that, to realize that, yes, he was going, but he was giving us the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth was going to be coming in that we read about there in verses 16 and 17. And you know, the world impacts us with lie after lie after lie. The enemy is always there to make us feel like we're not valuable, that we're not important, that, oh, we've blown it too much. Oh, you've done it this time. Just don't even go back to church. Man, you know, don't even go back. Those are all lies, but yet we have the Spirit of Truth. And if Jesus has went to prepare a place for us, then the Holy Spirit is going to be here to enable us to continue to walk with Him so that when He comes back, we'll be ready. Praise the Lord. Hopefully we'll be ready. So the Helper, He will. He will be that Spirit of Truth. And He will receive us. The world can't receive Him. It said there back in verses 16 and 17, the world can't receive Him because they don't know Him. And that's why sometimes when you try to share the Lord with somebody and you show them something, even in Scripture, so clear, it's just like, duh, they just can't quite grasp it. That's why in colleges, they even will teach the Bible as literature. And it doesn't have any effect on people because they're not looking at the spiritual side of it. They're trying to just look at it in some literature type of way without really allowing the Holy Spirit to enlighten them to what the true meaning of it is. And so this should comfort us in these days of our trials and tribulations. This should comfort us. You know, and the Lord gives us that wonderful promise that we will go through tribulation. You know, I mean, that's part of the whole package. You know, you don't come to Jesus and then all of a sudden everything is just hunky-dory all the time. No, we have trials and tribulations in our life. But we should gain hope and comfort knowing that we're not alone. We're not alone. He didn't abandon us. He sent us another helper, a paraclete to be alongside, to guide us and to provide for us. You know, Paul said in Romans 5, 3 and 5, he says, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." The love of God has been poured out. Poured out. That word means it's just the whole bucket's just been dumped over. You know, and all the drips have came out. It didn't just get turned over and leave some in there. It's turned over and everything's been dripped out. Now think about the love of God and how important that is into our lives. And I wasn't planning on sharing this scripture, but it's something that we read every Monday night at Most Excellent Way. It kind of goes along this. And just listen to what this says in Titus chapter 3. It says, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." That's the way we were before. That's under the sun stuff. hateful and hating one another. But then the next verse says, but when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward man appeared. Wow. When the love of God. See, it's the love of Jesus that really sets Christianity apart from all the other religions, all the other stuff, all the other, you know, cults and everything else. They're all based on work. You know, they got to do this. They got to go knock on doors. They got to do this. They got to do that. They got to pay exuberant amounts of money. You know, whatever the cases are, whatever their work is in that certain class of people there. But Christianity, what sets us apart is we just got to receive Jesus' love by faith and then walk in that love. And then he calls us to go out and share that love, to be able to tell others about that love. And so the helper has been given to all believers to fill our hearts with the love of God. Oh, man. We should, and if you're not experiencing that, if you don't feel that in a powerful way, you need to spend more time reading and praying. That'll get you to feel more of those things. Read and pray. Read and pray. And just you know, you don't have to have any fancy King James prayers. You just need to talk to Jesus. If you're not feeling that love of God, you need to be real with Him. You need to say, God, I'm not feeling that. I want that. Ask Him for it. Ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, bring that love to me tonight. Allow me to know that kind of love, the depth of that love. One thing I reiterate over and over and over on Monday nights is there's two things we need to remember. One is how big God is. And secondly is how much He loves us. Boy, if we can grab a hold of those two things, man, we'll kind of breeze through some of those trials and tribulations. We'll still go through them. He doesn't promise to take us out of them. He promises to give us the strength and the ability to go through them. And we're going through knowing how big He is and how much He loves us makes it a lot easier to get through those trials, to get through those things. So secondly, I want to look at the helper was sent by the Father. See, He said, I will ask of the Father to send you this. You know, a lot of times we don't really relate to the Father God as much as we do even to Jesus or even the Holy Spirit. Because a lot of times we didn't have an earthly Father to be a good example to us. It's getting seemingly more and more in our society that's happening more these days. Or we've had a Father that was maybe very abusive or something like that. And so, you know, Jesus, we see on the cross. You know, we know, oh yeah. And the Holy Spirit, sometimes we kind of realize, yeah, the Holy Spirit's there as our helper, and we kind of can relate to the Holy Spirit. But then when you mention Father, kind of a buzzer goes off. I'm not quite sure about the Father. Well, it all comes. That love of God, the Holy Spirit came from the Father. Jesus came from the Father. Of course, the three are one, but we got to remember that how much of a plan the Father put together from the very foundation of the world to save you as an individual, just to save you. You know, so the helper was sent by the Father in the name of Jesus to take His place. Why? To continue to teach His disciples all things. So if you lack understanding in some things, again, ask of the Holy Spirit to teach you. That's one of His ministries to each of us, is to teach us things, to remind us of things, and to bring things to our remembrance. It says He would cause them to the Holy Spirit allowed and caused the disciples to remember all things that Jesus taught them so that they could give us the complete Word of God. See, that's why we can trust the Bible and trust the Word of God, because the Holy Spirit was there leading and guiding and inspiring those writers of the Word. And so we can know that it's true because we see it come to pass. We see there's no, you know, conflict in it. There's just this one theme running from Genesis to Revelation, salvation of all mankind, that man would be saved. And so he allowed the Holy Spirit to be there to teach the disciples to be able to give us the complete Word of God. Now back to John chapter 14. Now let's read verse 26. Says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. See, that's what he said. He says the Father is going to send him so that you'll remember all these things that I said to you. Everything. 2 Peter 1:12 says, for this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. You know and you're established. Again, going back to the lies of the world, you know, our environment will penetrate us with so many lies. We have to have that comforter, that helper, that paraclete to be there to be able to remind us, no, you're a child of God. That's covered by the blood of Christ. No, this is how you do it. This is the way you go. He's there to help us, to teach us, to correct us. All these things, I'll give a list here in a minute of the different ministries that he does for us. But all of those are to impact our lives each and every day. Each and every day that we walk with him. And so now, John chapter 15, let's look at verse 26. Says, but when the Helper comes, whom shall I send to you from the Father? The Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. See, that's how we know if something's of the Holy Spirit. It should be leading us to Jesus. Anytime somebody comes along with something, maybe a latest fad or a new book or the whatever it is, if it distracts you from Jesus, it's not of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's job is to lead us to Jesus. That's why when I pray in the beginning of the services for those that are unsaved, I pray for the Holy Spirit to come alongside and whisper in their ear. I also pray for the Lord to send people into those people's lives that they can relate to. Those people that would come in and be able to have that relatable understanding of really who Jesus is in that kind of a fashion. So we see that happening in that point. So the Holy Spirit, again, proceeds from the Father. The Holy Spirit continues to fill obedient believers with the power to share their faith with the lost. See, that's what it's all about. He empowers us not just so we can get puffed up and oh, I'm so spiritual. No, so that we can be those vessels that would be able to go forth and tell others about Jesus. To share the Lord with other people. He empowers us to do that and to share with the lost. Turn to another scripture. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 8. This is a good one for us here because sometimes the enemy and the world, the things under the sun, want to make us feel powerless and like we have no power against these trials and these difficulties that may come into our life. We can feel like we just don't have any power for them. But verse 8 of chapter 1 of Acts says, but you, each of you, underline that for you. You know, take that as a personal verse for you. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And so we have that power. Why? To be witnesses. To be able to overcome some of our fears. Overcome some of the fears of rejection or whatever we may have. To be able to be bold and confident and share the love of God. It shouldn't be hard if we look at it that way. We're sharing the love of God. See, sometimes when you start trying to say, I want to share the Word, well, sometimes they're not ready to receive the Word or they don't understand the Word. Sometimes in our life, we just need to share the love of God with them. Just be there. Take an interest, maybe, to a certain point. Just be interested. Hey, why do you do that? You know, oh, I see you have this kind of car or this kind of whatever. You know, what's that like? Or, you know, ask about their families. You know, sometimes we're so into ourselves that we don't ask those other people about them. You know, ask them open-ended questions. You know, well, what's an open-ended question? Well, a closed question is, how are you today? I'm fine. That's all you get. You know, an open-ended question would be, hey, you know, what went on today? What did you do at work today? See, that's a little bit, that adds a little bit more than a one-word answer. You know, I know, I've been counseling a long time, and I know wives always come in. My husband never talks to me. He never talks to me. I say, well, do you ever ask him any questions? Well, I ask him how his day went. Well, and what's he tell you? Fine, or good, or terrible. I said, just ask him, you know, be interested in what he does. Find out what he does at work. Find out if he went to work. Whatever it takes. You know, ask some questions where it takes more than one answer, and you'll get more communication from that man and that type of thing. So the Holy Spirit is there to empower us, to give us that power to share the love of Jesus, to empower us to be able to communicate one with the other. And so some of the things that the Holy Spirit, the Helper, when He has come into your life, these are some things He will do. First, He will convict of sin, the sin of righteousness and of judgment. He brings conviction. He doesn't bring condemnation. Because the Bible's clear, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. He doesn't condemn us, but there is always that place of conviction. And you'll know the difference. If you feel condemned, man, it's like Solomon here in the first three verses of Ecclesiastes 4. Man, they're just not even worth living. You know, that's the under-the-sun philosophy. That's the lie that the world tries to give to you, that they're just, you know, I'll give up. You know, but no, He will convict us of sin. And the Holy Spirit's able to do that without causing us harm or hurt. It doesn't damage us when the Holy Spirit even hits us with that spiritual 2x4. You know, it's like, oh, because usually we can see the benefit behind it. Because God only gives the good things for us. So He convicts of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Second thing He will do, He will guide you into all truth. I talked about the truth and a lie. Well, how do you know? Well, ask the Holy Spirit to be that guide. Ask Him to guide you down that path. Ask Him where He would have you to read. You know, Lord, what would you have me to read today? Leviticus. Are you sure, Lord? All right. And man, for the first time ever, you get something out of Leviticus. Because the Holy Spirit guided you there. You know, but He'll guide you to that truth, especially if you're having doubts. If you're believing, man, I'm just not worthy. Or I'm not valuable. Or I've got to do certain things to be approved of. If you start thinking those thinking, that's where you need to start to ask the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, guide me to the truth. Show me what the truth of Your Word, who I really am in You, who I am in Christ. So He will guide you there. The third thing is He will show you the things to come. He'll give you revelation into your life. You know, we're reading the book of Revelation on Sunday morning right now. We're going to be in chapter 7 this week, and so we're really getting into the tribulation period right now. And so there's a lot of things happening there, but He'll show you the things to come in your own life for your day. But, you know, we don't have to worry about tomorrow. He says today has enough problems or issues of its own. Just don't worry about tomorrow. Take today. And how do you ask Him for that future of today? Wake up a morning and ask Him, God, direct me today. Show me what You would have me to do. Be with me, guide me, protect me, provide for me. Just give that first few moments that you're awake over to the Lord. Again, it doesn't have to be anything long. It just has to be something sincere from your heart that you would ask His will to be done for your day, and then He will show you where to go. All of a sudden, you'll be going somewhere, and it's like, why am I here? Oh, and then you open up the door, and God does some miracle there. And then you start to see it. As you ask for that leading of Him, He will show you. And then the fourth thing, of course, He will glorify Christ. Christ will start to be glorified in your life. People that you work with, all of a sudden they'll start to say, hey, there's something different about you. Or how can you have such a great smile all the time? Or why are you so happy? You know, so and through that, that gives you an opportunity saying, I know Jesus. I know Jesus. Lois and I walked into a Starbucks one time, and we walked in together, and we were standing there, and the guy behind the thing, as he gave us our Starbucks, he says, what's your guys' secret? And I just said, Jesus. And he turned around real quick. Didn't have much more time for that. He wasn't expecting that. But, you know, it was Jesus. That's our secret. You know, and then the next thing is he will take things of Christ and show it to you. He's the revealer. He'll show you the word, and he'll show you the meaning for the word, and he'll show you what it means to you. You know, I usually pray every service for us to leave here being able to apply something we've heard. I think that's so important. It's not a matter of just maybe hearing or reading the word. We have to apply it into our own life. It has to be applicable, something that we can grab a hold of, a little nugget, a verse, whatever. It doesn't have to be a lot. You know, it just has to be that one or two little things that the Holy Spirit shows you. Man, and then walk out applying that verse and just being blessed. So we're not like those oppressors that don't have somebody to be with us and stand up for us. We have God, especially through the Holy Spirit, to do those things. So Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would take his doctrine and guide the apostles as they recorded what he taught, and he would help them to remember all those things and to show them things yet to come. And of course, we see that through the Gospels and then like the book of Revelation that we're reading now. He showed John the things to come, the things of the end. And the disciples had asked Jesus that during that Passion Week on Wednesday when we looked at Matthew 24, and the disciples asked him, when will this be and what are the signs? He told them everything that we went down through the seals in Revelation 6. He told them all those things, and then he showed John that and confirmed it as he gave him that revelation for the end times. And as we go back here at Acts chapter 1, let's read verses 1 and 2. It says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to those apostles whom he had chosen. So at that point, that's where the Holy Spirit ministry began. That's where his ministry started, especially at the day of Pentecost, when the disciples were in the room and the tongues of fire came down. And then what happened? Peter went out and 3,000 people got saved right afterwards. You know, because that was the ministry of the Holy Spirit working in the apostles' life at that point and at that place. And so he will continue his ministry until Jesus comes back. Until Jesus comes back to rapture the church away. He's going to continue that ministry. He's here with us tonight. He's here with us. He's with each born-again believer each and every day of their lives. He is there. That's a promise you can hang on to. You know, there's some things that are kind of easy for us to believe in the Bible, and other things that, well, yeah, maybe. And a lot of things we believe it. Yeah, I believe that for John and Frank, but not me. Because we know what we've been thinking. We know what we've been doing. We just don't think we're worthy. And again, that's the lie from the world. The truth is that we are worthy. We're his children. We're his family. And he wants to allow us to be able to remember that, to believe that. You know, believe means to trust in, rely on, cling to, and have an unswerving confidence in. And believe and trust kind of go hand in hand. And trust means that we believe God is able to do what he says. And secondly, we believe that he intends to do it for us, for you. We have to believe that he intends to do the things that you hear tonight, the things that you read about in the Bible. He intends to do that for you. He will keep his promise. And when I say that he is here with us tonight and he is with each born-again believer each and every day of their lives, you can believe that. You can trust in it, rely on it, and cling to it. He's working out the will of God in each of our lives. And I know some days it doesn't seem like it. But you know what? We just get back up the next day and start all over, because what does his word say? God's mercies are new every day. Wow, praise the Lord, I got a new start again. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I may have blew it yesterday, but man, today, here we go, God. Take a hold of my hand and let that paraclete come down and do that. Because he's going to do it for us in the same way he did it for his disciples. In the same way, you know, may think, well, but they walked with him. They were right there with him for 3 years. They had a little bit more in than we have. No, we're the same. It's the same Holy Spirit living and abiding in us that was there with them. You know, a lot of times we can look at the Old Testament prophets, especially Elijah. Wow, what a powerful prophet. Man, this man of God that called down fire from heaven. Not only burn up the sacrifice, but it burn up the water around the altar as well. Man, what a powerful, awesome man of God Elijah was. James 5:17 says Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours. Or in some versions say a man just like us. So we have, and what makes it the same is the Holy Spirit. So tonight as we think about this and look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit, where's he ministering in your life? If he's not, ask. Ask, seek, and knock. That's what the Bible tells us to do. To ask, seek, and knock. So I put these first three verses out of Ecclesiastes 4 together, and then I got led by the Spirit to do this on the Spirit tonight because I believe we need to have hope, especially in this time that we're living in. You know, the persecution of Christians is going to be more and more. It's getting greater and greater. We are becoming more the enemy. Everything is going to be blamed on the believers more and more. And so we need to have hope. We need to have power. We need to have that confidence in the Word of God and the promises of God to be able to help us stand. The Bible says, after you've done everything to stand, stand. And how do we do that? We have on the full armor of God. You know, and we always talk about the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith and the breastplate of righteousness. Don't forget the helmet of salvation. Don't forget to remember you're saved and you know it. You know, and then, you know, one of the greatest songs I think there is, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And so remember that this week. Be encouraged. Apply God's Word, God's ministry of the Holy Spirit to your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your Word. I thank you for this ability to come tonight and just to be